and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm very privileged to be speaking with two women from Carolyn's Place, which is a crisis pregnancy center in Waterbury, Connecticut. And I have Ellen Cavallo, who is the director of Carolyn's Place, along with one of the board members, Jenny Beaudenet, right?
Right.
Thank you so much for joining us today. A lot of times people say that babies are unwanted and the pro-life movement does nothing to help women, and yet you're just one example of the thousands of crisis pregnancy centers across the nation that are helping women on a daily basis. So thank you so much for all your work.
Thank you for inviting us.
So tell us a little bit about Carolyn's Place. How did it begin, and how long have you been in existence?
Well, Carolyn's Place began on November 4th of 1991, and I have a picture here, when Reverend Robert Rousseau, who was then the pastor at St. John the Evangelist Church in Watertown, he was coming out of a meeting. The Council of Catholic Women meeting was going on downstairs, and he was coming up out of the meeting, and he walked out through the exit, past the sacristy, into the parking lot, and noticed that the lights weren't on. And in those days, 1991, they didn't have the automatic sensors.
Oh, sure.
So he had to go back into the circuit breaker, so he said, oh, all right. So he walks back in and went into the sacristy and turned on the circuit breakers. And he's walking back out, now went through this doorway for the third time, and this time he hears this little cry. And he looks down, and there was a box in the corner, and he sees a little foot. And he bent down and opens up, and wrapped in a blue T-shirt was what we found out to be a three-hour-old baby. And he was just shocked and didn't know what to do, and he went downstairs and knew one of the women at the meeting who was a nurse and brought her up, and from there they called 911, and you know, they came, the ambulance came, they took the baby to St. Mary's Hospital. They determined it was a little girl, and she was, as I say, they think approximately 3 hours old. It was just such a shock for everyone. And Father, when he even tells the story, says he felt like, you know, God was saying, look down, look down. What are you, crazy? So he said the baby didn't cry, just made one little
peep,
enough to make him look down.
Wow.
And November 4th is the Feast of St. Charles Borromeo. And so he named her himself, Carolyn, after, for the female counterpart, and Carolyn Marie for the Blessed Mother. The baby was adopted confidentially, and so we don't know where she is. The parents do know that she was a special baby, right? But one of the things that Father said, and even the women at the meeting, was what courage this woman must have
absolutely
had to have brought the baby to a safe place. This was before the safe haven laws or anything. You know, what do you do? Obviously, this woman must have been alone to have been in this situation.
Right, and scared and frightened, yeah.
Exactly. So a group of parishioners, of which Ellen was one of those original parishioners, got together and prayed and researched, and over a course of a year, then developed what in fall of 1992 became Carolyn's
awesome.
Place. So we are 18 years, will be 18 years, and Carolyn herself will be 19 years, and for all we know, she's walked in and out of our office, and we don't know it.
But oh, she might not know it either.
But it really is, you know, a fabulous story, and what a way to start, a pro-life, as you said, a crisis pregnancy care, or now we call ourselves a pregnancy care center. But we are the one in Waterbury that a lot of the people are aware of. And we began in Watertown, which is a suburb of Waterbury. And we began actually right across the street in a little shop that we kind of outgrew. It you know, it was just part of a store that we then used for our offices. And we then moved into Waterbury, and we went into one convent that had been closed down. And then, you know, as unfortunately, as with many dioceses, parishes are closing. And then we had to move to another one. And so we were very, very blessed that in 2007 we were able to purchase our own center. And it is in the medical community, right across from the hospital, a clinic, pediatricians, doctors.
Oh, so wow. Ideally situated.
Perfectly. And it's right on a bus line, which is what many of our young clients need. And it's also a very nice home, although we changed it into a center. We tried to keep that kind of hominess feeling mm-hmm. about it, you know, so that the girls understand that that loving feeling you walk in here mm-hmm. is what you should be trying to provide for your baby.
So it must be very rewarding to have been in this venture for 18 years and being a part of something so great, you know, to start out with. What are some of the highlights that you would like to share with us?
There are so many, really. I've decided that at some point I should write a book before Absolutely. I forget them, too. But I think for me, I'm a nurse by profession, but I'm a mom. And we'd been opened about a year and a half, and a young lady came in for a pregnancy test. And she was just 14.
Wow.
She was the same age as my youngest daughter at the time. And she did turn out to be pregnant, but she also turned out to be in full-blown AIDS. And even as a nurse, having taken care of people with AIDS, I'd never cared for someone who was Erin's age, who was dying from something she didn't have to die from. Her name was Maria. She gave us permission to use her name. We were able to locate an aunt that lived in the Bronx, and she went to stay with her. And Maria died in Mother Teresa's hospice 4 months after she gave birth to a beautiful little boy. But she made me promise before she died that we would talk to kids her age about something she'd never heard of, and that was chastity and abstinence. And that's how God led us into the education piece. If you had asked me 20 years ago what I would be doing today, it definitely wouldn't be being on television or speaking to groups, because really I'm kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But God gives you what you need when you need it. And so I am going out and talking about abstinence and chastity and life issues. And that's been, we've talked to over 10,000 kids.
Wow. And I mean, it's so important because, you know, you say you're there as you have to help these women and everything, but until, you know, you get your message out, until the pro-life message is out that, you know, really, you don't get yourself into this situation to begin with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like you want to put yourself out of business.
That's exactly what we said.
You're right.
We actually have said that. We would love to see us close because there wasn't a need. You're absolutely right.
Or just completely, you know, transition to education. So what are the types of education outreach do you have going on?
Well, we have several different programs, and Ginny and I went into one of the local Catholic schools this past winter, and we spoke to the preschool all the way through the eighth grade. For the preschool to second grade, we have a lovely book called Angel in the Waters, and you said that you had it.
Yes, I have this.
Yes.
Yeah. And
it's really beautiful.
It's a beautiful book.
Really is.
And it's fun to read. It's about the guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
And always, the kids are very, very excited about some of them haven't heard about
right.
it.
And it's the development of the baby,
and
the
yes.
angel with the baby in the waters.
Right. Yes. And then at the end, we very often, well, I tell the kids that I have named my guardian angel.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And so they pick names, and
sure.
they're just really fun. It's an interactive thing. For third and fourth grade, we talk about, we show them a video called Masterpiece. And that shows the development, but it's in a cartoon stage, so it's very easily understood.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth and sixth, we show the American Life League's Baby Steps, which is a little more involved. And then for seventh and eighth grade, we talked about chastity and mm-hmm. abstinence, and we separated the boys and girls, which I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Very often when we go into CCD classes, that doesn't happen. The
right.
girls and boys are
mm-hmm.
together. That's really not a...
It's too uncomfortable, you know, and I really think it Yeah, it shouldn't be in that situation.
I agree. But very often you have the 45 minutes, and that's all
I
you
know.
Have.
Although I remember one of the stories Ellen will tell is she would go walk into the high school classroom, and you can see when everybody's coming in, who the cool kids are and who
mm-hmm.
they aren't. And then as class began, she would pick one that appeared kind of cool of a boy and a girl and bring them up to the front and give the boy the toothbrush and say, here, brush your teeth. And they, you know, everybody's laughing and joking and everything, and then take it back and then hand it to the girl. And say, now you do it. And of course everybody's, ooh,
ew, gross.
And then you proceed from there to go on about, okay, let's discuss what's going on here in your
mm-hmm.
lives, though. And of course, one thing that has changed dramatically from 1991 to now is the prevalence of STDs and different mm-hmm. things, that we really need to educate our youth for their own
Absolutely.
Life, not just for the life of a child,
right.
but for their own life. So that's another thing we felt that we have been steered in area of education, as well as dealing, you know, with the clients. Girls will come. I mean, Ellen can tell you, you know, a typical day when the way clients come in and everything she goes through with them. And then we turn around in evenings and weekends and do the talks.
Right. And like you say, you do hope, to the day that you won't need to be, helping the women.
Right.
One of the things that I do like about this Angel in the Water is and just bringing any type of, developmental, imagery to the kids is to really humanize the baby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we humanize everything. In Hollywood, they humanize, animals.
Dogs.
They humanize, toasters.
You're right.
Everything, but they don't humanize humans.
They do.
You're right.
That is true.
And it drives me crazy. So that's one of the things I loved about this little book. Because you can read it to kids of all ages, and they understand.
They do.
That it's a baby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's true.
And it's really something that they need to have brought into their consciousness very early.
Right.
Because they're going to get hammered, later on in life that's not a baby, it's a fetus, and it's really not true. Mm-hmm. It changes people's minds. I know my mother-in-law, she found herself in what you would consider a crisis pregnancy. She was, 39 and, totally not, they had just gotten, on their feet. All her kids were, just getting ready to go to college, and she found herself pregnant, and she was just like,
right.
And the doctor said, you should think about having an abortion. It would just take care of all your problems. And she thought about it. She's like, wow, that would take care of my problems. But her friend gave her a book with the, fetal development. And she took one look at that and said, that's a baby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, even an adult can recognize that.
Yeah.
So I think it's really great that you're approaching it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that people can criticize the pro-life movement for, pushing chastity only type education. It's really much, much more loving than sending a kid home with a banana and a condom,
you.
And you bring up the STDs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you approach this? How do you tell the kids about all of the STDs that are facing them?
Well, actually, from a health perspective, I mean, we've been in several public high schools, and we take it from the health perspective because we can walk someone through a pregnancy. But many of the STDs we can't. And there's a lot of misinformation that our kids get about sexually transmitted diseases. So we talk about them very openly and honestly.
Such as
HPV, which is one of my favorites because we hear a lot about Gardasil, the vaccine. What they don't tell our young people and what isn't in the ads, because we have a big ad in our Sunday paper, which drove me crazy, that I think when parents read the ad, they think, oh, I have to do this.
Right.
But it's never mentioned that it's a sexually transmitted disease, number one, and that there are 7 strains and that the vaccine only takes care of 4, perhaps, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's not a done deal. But I think when our young people see it, and some parents who don't do any more educating
research
themselves will say, oh, I've got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot of pediatricians are pushing it on just when the kids go in for their physical exams. We had 2 volunteers who brought their grammar school age girls in. And luckily, both of them are very well educated. And they saw the extra vaccine and they said, what's that? And the pediatrician said, well, it's Gardasil. No.
I don't think so.
No. But one pediatrician actually got between the mom and the daughter and said, well, mom doesn't want you to have it, but what do you think? So we really do have to educate. We really,
really
do.
I mean, okay, so it's a pet peeve with me as well. I mean, I've worked in the pharmaceutical industry, and I know, for instance, Merck is pushing their vaccine because they need to recoup their money.
Right.
And the vaccine industry is very good at, persuading the government into, forcing everyone to get a vaccine. Mm-hmm. Well, if everyone gets the vaccine, that's a heck of a lot of cabbage,
it
in their coffers.
Right.
But the one thing about HPV that a lot of people don't realize is that a condom is not going to protect you against
skin to skin.
Getting an HPV.
Yeah, and kids don't know that either. Well, a lot
adults don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, and they're pushing, you know, a condom, you know, safe sex, and it's not safe.
No.
You know, and it's not just HPV. And there's so many other sexually transmitted diseases that one, a condom's not going to protect you against.
No. And one of the things that no one talks about, especially in the health classes in school, is the emotional fallout.
Oh, sure.
And I think that's what I see when they come into the office. They have a negative pregnancy test, but then the STD testing comes back, and you have this little girl sitting in front of you, and she's arguing with you because it can't be positive because I've only been with him, and he's never been with anyone. And then, of course, she finds out that that's not true. And you watch that heartbreak right in front of you. And that level of trust, which is supposed to be built up within the Marriage Act, is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this little person sitting in front of you who, well, only God knows how that's going to heal, really.
Yeah.
Because I think the emotional fallout from what I've seen is even worse than the physical.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you'd rather be pregnant than have, all these sexually transmitted diseases, except the old-fashioned ones, are viral. And you're never going to get rid of them, ever.
No.
So you promise to right. if you know, when you get married in the future, to give that to your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't help but give it to your spouse.
Well, one of the things we do, and I do it with tongue in cheek, but when we're talking to kids, I'll say, well, according to the CDC, you have to be abstinent for 7 years and been tested every 6 months to tell someone that you don't have a sexually transmitted disease. Well, that really takes the romance out of the whole thing. You know, if you have somebody going to propose to you and is on his knees and says, well, wait, I've got, let's see, 2 more years every 6 months and then I'll be okay. It's just so ridiculous. It really is. And it's so sad for our kids.
Well, we offer a 24/7 hotline at Carolyn's Place. And girls, women's, anybody can call us, and often we'll have. I remember once she gave a talk, and we got a phone call. I happened to be on the phones that night. We got the phone call that night from a ninth grade boy saying, I was just at my CCD class, somebody from your, where do I go to be tested for an STD?
Wow.
So it's that prevalent. But in addition to the hotline, one of the things that you had said about people talking about STDs, another complaint that people will often say about, oh, you pro-life people, you tell them to have the baby and don't help them.
Right.
We really support them and help them to follow through. We have what we call an Earn While You Learn program. And that program is for the girls. In the beginning, when girls' clients used to come to us, you know, we would give them diapers. We have a lot of generous donors to us. And diapers and bottles and baby clothes and everything you need up to size 2T. And we would give it to them, and after a while, Alan said, you know, we turning it into a Salvation Army or St. Vincent de Paul, which are two fabulous organizations, but have a different mission than what our mission is. And so we began the Earn While You Learn program, which these girls come and they register for during their pregnancy. And it's a 6 to 8 week program that they come, and Alan tries to group them together, although sometimes if you have a lot older girls and younger ones, it doesn't always work. But they go through this program where they learn all about what's going on in fetal development, all about what to expect during birth, labor, delivery, and then parenting skills afterwards. And then it culminates.
Geez,
with,
everybody should sign up.
I know. We've had many parents. We have had a lot saying that. But it culminates with a nice dinner, usually Ellen's famous chili, where one of the things she says to them is, you see this bond, in 6 to 8 weeks, you as mothers all sharing your woes of, the baby's kicking, you now are enjoying this bond at dinner. That's important that you provide these things for your children.
And for yourself,
and for themselves, being part of the community.
Yeah.
We now have almost as many dads coming.
Oh, wow.
Which is really, that's been a real, for the first, 5 or 6 years, it was usually the girls coming with a best friend or a mom, or but now this past November we had 25 teen moms and dads. Unfortunately,
not married.
No,
right.
No, but there were a few baptisms that followed, and there are 2 engagements.
Right.
So I mean, you know, you keep praying.
Baby steps.
Yep, absolutely.
But, I mean, some of them are alone, and Ellen goes with them through labor and delivery, takes them to their doctor appointments, whatever they need to show the support. We're not just saying, "Oh, keep the baby, goodbye."
Right.
You know,
right.
We're trying to provide We have people who come back now, years later, with their...
Yeah, we do maintain that relationship. And they, because of the place we have, the beautiful center, they can come for lunch, breakfast, dinner, you know, and pop in for tea, you know. We're big on peppermint tea with the pregnant girls, you know. So it is a wonderful place because you never know who's going to come through the door.
Right.
You never know who's going to call. And we do have wonderful volunteers.
So you must have had, you know, some... have made major impact. I mean, you have had to have touched a lot of lives throughout those 18 years.
I do.
The story of...
Oh, of Katie. Okay. Katie. I will read this to you. We got a call from a priest, and he told us that he had a young lady who was a junior in his religion class, and that she was pregnant, that mom had made an appointment for an abortion, and that she was absolutely adamant that she was not going to have one. And could I find a place for her to stay? And I thought, well... okay, I thought she could stay with me, which she did for a few days. But I'm always amazed at how God works. I mean, he writes stories like no one else does. And so I had no sooner speaking, I was talking to Father, and I hung up, and the door opened, and in walked this beautiful kid with her suitcase. Mom and Dad didn't even come in. I mean, I could have been anybody.
Right.
And she came home with me for a little while. And a few days after that, this lovely person shows up from Roxbury and says, you know, my husband and I have this big house, and we just got rid of our last kid. And do you ever need a place for anybody to stay? So Katie went and stayed with Duncan and Pam. And during that whole time, Pam and Duncan, he was a doctor, tried to get the mom and dad back. And just before she was ready to deliver her little girl, whom she named Megan, her mom gave in and was there for the for the delivery, which was awesome. So this is from Katie's mom and dad. And it said, almost 2 years ago, we thought the worst thing in the world had happened. Katie was pregnant. Today, instead, we have a beautiful granddaughter, Megan, that we love with all our hearts. Katie is completing her first semester at Michigan State and is doing very well. She and Megan live on campus, and Megan goes to the daycare while Katie goes to class. They move from West Hartford to Michigan.
Wow.
We are about an hour away and able to help when Katie needs a break. None of this would have been possible without your help. We will forever be grateful. Merry Christmas.
Oh, wow.
So that's wonderful.
That's really special, you know. Yes. And I think, you know, as scared and as emotional as the pregnant teen is, the parents have to be going through the same things.
Yes.
I mean, you want the best for your children. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of parents think that the worst that can happen to their kid is they're getting
pregnant. Yeah.
But, you know, like, given time, you know, people do generally come around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially if the girl has the courage to stand up to the parents. And I think that's part of the problem,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, oftentimes the girl doesn't have the courage or just doesn't have the fortitude, especially when she's in that compromised state of,
mm-hmm.
you know, being pregnant and emotional and everything. So I love this, the idea of, you know, educating the kids. And I think the other side has done such a great job of, you know, educating kids in the wrong
mm-hmm.
thing. So I really, you know, commend your efforts to educating them. And I really... I'm shocked that you've been able to get into public schools.
That's what's so amazing.
Well,
because
that's God, really.
We actually, one of the classes we offer is we call a respect responsibility class. And that is, it's 8 weeks long, and we go into especially the public schools is where we've been getting into them. And they give us marginalized or behavioral or whatever politically correct term you want to put with some of these girls. And they would meet with Ellen or whoever the representative from Carolyn's place was. And you would spend time, and they would, well, Ellen could tell you better. I mean, the things they came in and discussed. And it was really to try and show them, you know, you have to respect yourself.
Absolutely.
If you don't respect yourself, don't expect anybody else.
Right.
And, I mean, there's been some fabulous outcomes.
Yeah.
I mean, we're so concerned nowadays with, our, you know, especially girls' self-esteem. I mean, how is it teaching girls self-esteem to go around, you know, okay, you know, sleep with whoever you want just as long as you have a condom, you know, or here's a birth control pill. I mean, how is that teaching girls self-esteem, you know?
Well, I think self-esteem, that's been used ad nauseum, and esteem is how you feel, really, and you, as you know, girls can feel 24 different ways, 24 hours.
Especially the teenager.
Yes. Right. So what we do is teach them self-respect, and that's the difference.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a difference between the two.
Yeah, but the one comes from the other.
Yeah.
The
right.
esteem
yes.
comes from having self-respect, yes. not from disrespecting yourself.
Right.
like the other side would have you.
The unfortunate part is that so many women would say, or girls, I'd rather kill my baby than put it up for adoption.
Oh, that drives me crazy.
They see the importance of this special life to them, but if I don't want it, then no one else is going to have mm-hmm. it. And I know one of the sad, well, it's a sad but a happy story ending is the one with the adoption with the couple in California.
Barbara, yeah.
Right.
We had gotten a call from the clinic, and the girl identified herself as being 19 and being a prostitute. And I could hear people in the background yelling, "No one's going to want your kid." But with the next breath, she said, "But I can't kill my kid." Mm. So I gave her directions. She was a crack addict. And I thought, well, just before she came, we got a Christmas card that was hand decorated from a couple in California with their wedding picture. And they were asking for a baby. And she walked in as soon as I finished reading. The last sentence was,
"Thank
we
God.
Don't."
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's God writing a story.
Yes, he writes stories. And, you know, I showed her the letter. She made the phone call. I was bringing her to Kennedy Airport the following weekend. When I was bringing her, I was making small talk, and I just said I was proud of her for saving her baby's life. And she said, "I think this kid is saving mine."
Wow.
Yeah.
And baby was adopted, had some problems because of the crack, but mom just got her master's in sociology.
Wow.
So the baby did save her life.
Wow.
So yeah, that's definitely a God story.
And I hope that's one of the things that you do emphasize with the teens is adoption, you know, as far as...
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Because I was adopted, and I'm a big supporter of adoption.
Oh, yeah. No, I've actually taken the classes from adoption workers, so I'm adoption specialist, supposedly. But I do know the laws, and that is one of the first things we talk about when the girls come in.
Oh, that's great, because, yeah. I mean, it's just such an adoption that... so many people just totally forget, and like you said, so many girls feel that it would be better to kill their child than to put their child up for adoption, and that's just wrong. It's upside down.
It is upside down. But it is a viable option. It is, and when we go to do the education piece, we talk about adoption, just what it really is, so that they get an idea and they don't think about, you know, they get their information from.
So they have real choices.
Yes.
And not just, you know, the abortion or, you know,
and that's
keep
what choice is really about, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
It's the truth.
Right.
It's the truth, and this is the truth. And that's being pro-choice.
Right. And that's what we do say if you go to our website or you read our material, is that we give you choices and we explain what the choices are, you know, unlike the other side that says, "Oh, you know, we're pro-choice, you don't have any."
Right. So, what they're really saying is they're pro-abortion.
Yes. That's exactly what they're saying.
Thank you so much for all the work that you've done, and thank you for joining us today
and
sharing your stories.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you've learned something. We hope that you talk to your family and friends about the things that you've learned. And when you look in the mirror the next time, you too will realize yours is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.